Is there anything else from that earlier period before you came to California that you think you...
Oh, I don't know. Do you want to hear about the gangster?
Oh, yeah.
I met him at a girl's house, a girlfriend that I was going to dances with. And her mother always had kids in her house. They had a basement rooms that they had phonograph and everything, and we used to go there and dance and go to the, and then drive to East Boston to the place where they made potato chips. It's kind of the evenings we had. But anyway, I met this guy there, and he was very nice, and he maneuvered it so that I drove and got in his car. And then this girl said, "Don't go home with him. Don't let him take you home." So after a while, that was early in the evening, and then later on, I'd been with him all evening, and he was nice and everything. I didn't see why I should let him take me home. So he did. He took me home, and then he, asked for dates and all this. And I went out with him for a while. I don't remember how long, but, it's been a matter of months. And he was always very nice to me, very thoughtful, kind, and took me to the theater, big shows, and a lot of places. And until one time he asked me if I wanted a job with him. And I used to ask him, "What kind of work do you do?" Because he always seemed to be around. He used to pick me up at lunchtime, take me to lunch. And then he used to come sometimes and take me home from work and say, "Well, when do you work?" Dixie, his name was Dixie. Yeah, that's what his nickname. And I said, "When do you work, Dixie?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I have my own business. Never mind, forget it." And then I didn't care as long as we were having fun. Then he asked me if I wanted a job, and I said, "Well, what kind of a job?" And he said, "Oh, this is easy." He said, "All you have to do is ride with us in our car to New York and back. We go about a couple of times a week, and you just ride with us." And I said, "Oh, come on." He said, "No, we'll give you $25. Before he asked me this, it was Christmas time, and he asked me what I wanted for Christmas. And I said, "I don't want anything for Christmas. I'd like a dog. I want a dog." So he said, "I'll get you a dog." If I wanted a fur coat for Christmas. That's how it all started. "You want a fur coat?" I said, "Oh, my God, don't be silly. My mother would kill me if I walked home with a fur coat." And he said, "Well, all right, then, you want a dog." So he got me a dog, and then I don't know what happened, but something happened about that dog. A friend of his kept it for me until I went to get it, and I don't know what all. Anyway, then, a little after that, he told me about the job. "You just ride in the car with us. You don't have to do anything. Just be in the car." So I said, "I don't know. What are you going to do in New York?" What they did in New York was steal fur coats. That's why he was going to give me a fur coat. They'd go to a warehouse and take all these coats and drive back to Boston. And the reason why they wanted me in the car was because now it wouldn't work now, but at that time, if there was a girl in the car, the police wouldn't bother them because this guy's out with his girl. He's not robbing any banks or anything much. So it was almost a gun ball. And then he told me that, and oh my God, I was so scared. And that was something I couldn't tell my mother. I thought, it would kill her. She wouldn't know what to do. So I told my brother. He said, "Stay away from that guy. Don't ever see him again." And then I used to have a bad time. He used to come to get me from work, and I'd go into the factory part of the building, and I could look out the window and see him. And I'd go in the back, and I'd go in the back of the building in a freight elevator. It was a glass place that made, you know, glass and stuff. No, that was, it wasn't glass. It was Glassy was the name of the thing. Anyway, I don't know what they made, but they had a freight elevator, and I used to go down the freight elevator. And so a few times that I stood him up like that, he finally got the message, I guess. But it was pretty scary. And then, and all this time, I hadn't seen this girl, who was his friend, whose house I met him at. And I said, "Where the hell are you again?" He said, "Did you go home with the Dixie Sassoni that night from my house?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "I told you to keep away from that guy." She said, "He's the biggest gangster in the North End." And I said, "Now you tell me." I said, "Oh, I saw him for, you know, a long time." I said, "I finally gave up on him." But that was scary. I guess it wouldn't be so scary to a kid now, but...
Oh, yeah,
so well, yeah, it wouldn't be any...
But he very openly told you.
He, of course, I've been going with him for a long time. And that must have been months. Because it seemed to me it was in the winter when I met him, because remember the night that I was riding with him in this car, it was cold and icy and everything. And this was... Yeah, he was about, well, he might have been a little older, but, you know, he was about my age. And he used to tell me, "Well, when we're married, you know, I want you to do such and such." "Anyway, what are you talking about?" I thought I had anything to say. He was kind of a strange one, of course.
That brings to mind a question. Before you went up to Connecticut and then married your husband, had you considered marrying any of these other men that you...
Well, yeah, there was a fellow that I was that I went with for about 2 years. Now, him, I just met him at a dance, you know, pickup. But I went with him a long time, and we were getting pretty serious, and we were thinking about getting married. And I don't know what happened. Well, these things were so painful at the time, and, you know, of the world, and now you can't remember what it was all about. I don't know, we must have had some kind of a quarrel or fight or something, because that's when, then I went off to Connecticut, and I met my husband, and oh, they were some dead. Yeah, oh, poor Ken, I shouldn't say that, he was all right. It was just that we had such a miserable time. And so when I came back, this other fellow came, you know, to see me, and I just said, "Well, I'm going steady with somebody now." And I don't know, that was kind of that. He didn't seem too broken up, I guess. He didn't jump in the river or anything.
What sorts of sexual activities would you carry on with these young men before you married?
Please. I wasn't that kind of a girl.
No, but would you go, would young women at that, of your group, for instance, go in for petting?
Yeah, but, you know, it was pretty mild. That's what I think now about how those fellows that we went with, they must have done something because, you know, they were healthy, red-blooded fellows, and we were so standoffish. But I guess there were, you know, there were girls, and they were girls.
Did you ever?
And they knew
pressure?
The difference.
Did they ever pressure?
No, not really. Not really. One time I really almost got in trouble. I do all these idiot things myself. This was a fellow that I had met at a dance that I went to all the time. I didn't know him, but I met him there a lot, and I got acquainted with him there. So I didn't know him. You know, I knew him there. Now, one night, nobody could go that night but me, and I went alone, which is, you know, see, I was so stupid, I didn't know that, but that's really an invitation, you know. So I went there alone, because it didn't matter, I knew a lot of people there. It wouldn't have mattered if I had any sense. And then this fellow said, I'll drive you home. So I said, all right. And then when we got in this car, there were two of them. So they started driving me, and I knew we were going the wrong way. And I said, where are we going? This is a, I know the way, this is a little shortcut or something. Well, we went way out in the suburbs. It was really, at that time, you know, it was way in the country. And they had a bottle of some kind of booze, and they were trying to make me take a drink. And I was praying, thinking, what have I done now? If I ever, I'll never, never do it. And then they put this... you know, with my throat, and he said, you're not drinking that. And so anyway, they were, and then he started the pawing and everything, and I looked around, and it was out in the middle of nowhere. Then I realized, oh, we were really on a street. There were houses along the street. So as soon as I could get, you know, a little bit away from, get a little freedom in my arms, I opened the door and jumped out. And I ran up the steps to this. I never hesitated. I ran out of the car up the steps of this house and rang the bell. And they took off. I heard them going. Well, nobody answered me. And so I thought, now what? So I just sat on a, it was pitch dark, you know, it was be about 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, we left it probably at 1. Dance was supposed to be over at 1. And pitch dark, no street lights or anything. And so I didn't even know where to walk or what to do. So I sat down on the steps, and I just sat there till morning. So I thought, well, I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know where to walk. You know, if I walked in, I'd be going worse off. So in the morning, I could hear a streetcar. I couldn't see it, but I could hear it. And I could look down a long way off. I could see a car going by. Well, that's, at least that's a street. And so I started walking down there. And a police car caught up with me. And I said, you know, where are you going? I made up some weird story for them, but afterwards I thought, gee, why did I think they were going down? I don't know, something about going to a party, and I don't know why I would be walking home from a party at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is, but anyway. And naturally, if you were walking home from a party at 6 o'clock, you might be one of those girls. But they were very nice, these kids. They were young kids, they were my age. And so they sympathized with me. And I said, well, I just have been walking all night. I didn't know where I was going. So, and I didn't have any money. I guess I left my purse in that car. And I said, I don't know how I am going to get home because I left my purse there and I have no money. And they said, well, we're going to stop for coffee. Do you want a cup of coffee? So they bought me a cup of coffee, and they gave me a dime for the subway. And one of them gave me his phone number, but I don't think I ever called him. But that was a scary experience, because in that car, you know, I didn't know whether I was going to escape with my life. Well, you wouldn't think about your life in those days. Now you would expect to be stabbed or something, but yeah, then it was just, you were lucky if you were going to escape with your honor, or whatever they called it.
Did you ever hear of girls your age getting raped?
Well, I never did. I don't know, maybe it happened. Well, I suppose it must have happened, but I never heard of that.
What happened when you finally got home?
Oh, and when I got home, of course my mother was still up waiting for me. And she said, now, tell me first, are you all right? Did you get hurt or anything? You know, no matter what happened, did you get hurt? Are you all right? I said, yeah, well, I didn't get hurt or anything. And then I started to tell her, and she said, well, don't tell me. I said, go to bed. She said, get undressed, go to bed. Go to sleep. When you get up, then you can tell me about it. And so I did. And she never said, you know, you darn fool, what did you do that for or anything. She knew that I knew that. She didn't have to say that. So, believe me, I never took a ride with anybody again.
Well, how about gangster?
Oh, no, no, never. No, he was so nice. He used to kiss my hand good night. Sometimes he'd kiss me good night, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Never. See, because that's how it was. We were going to get married, so hands off. I didn't think about that consciously or anything, but I think that's the way he thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's how it was. It was real strange.
No, he was Italian?
Yes, he was, yeah. Yeah, a real Italian gangster. I often wished I'd taken the fur coat instead of the dog, because I never got the dog.
Anything else from those earlier years?
Oh, I don't think I have any other lurid stories.
Can you describe the dance hall for me? Was it the same one that you always went to?
Oh, no, we went to different dance halls all the time. Well, they were pretty much how all dance halls are.
Was it in your neighborhood?
Well, in the neighborhood and outside. Yeah, 25 cents.
Uh-huh. What kind of music was there? What sort of dance?
Oh, yeah, they used to have good, they didn't have, of course, any big dance for that price, but they had some big dance, you know, were well known. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody now would know them, but I heard somebody on radio or television or something not long ago, Jerry Gray. I thought, then I used to go to dance. Jerry Gray.
How did you hook up with partners there? How did that happen?
Well, the boys just came and asked us, and, you know, we all, even though we went to different places, we knew people everywhere we went, you know. They just come and ask us to dance. And that was it, and we went every night in the week if we could, and you couldn't dance on Sunday in Massachusetts, you know. But there were always people getting married on Sunday. Italian kids and Polish kids. And they always have a big doings. And we'd go, invited or not, we'd go and crash the party. And they'd have miles of food, you know, big long tables of food. We never look at any of the food. We didn't care about that. We just wanted to dance.
Did young women ever ask you to dance?
You wouldn't. Oh, no, you didn't ask a fellow to dance. You didn't call them on the telephone the way they do now. Gee, they think nothing of it.
And would the girls dance together ever?
No. Well, I don't think anybody ever did. I know I never did. And I don't. I think that would be kind of, what do you call it? I don't know how to say it. Put a stigma on you or something. Oh, that isn't the right word.
Oh, that you couldn't get
anybody. Yeah, that would mean that you couldn't get anybody to dance with you. And that would be the end of the world.